Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Hallelujah. And welcome to Wrestle Chat Radio's Week in Review show, a show that was forced upon us by the absolute non-existence of customer support at Blog Talk Radio. I'm not going to rant about this because I could take the whole hour, but this is positively ludicrous. You may as well attempt to ask your dog what is wrong when dealing with Blog Talk Radio, and to this moment, we don't know, and to this moment we are having trouble, and we can guarantee you it's not on our side. Anyway, welcome to WrestleChat's Week in Review show. We're going to try to get Raw and SmackDown in on this hour, 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to join us live, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, your opinions there as well, and obviously we're not going to be able to go in depth, but let's suffice to say we will give you a synopsis of this week's Raw and SmackDown, two of the worst rated, as far as ratings are concerned, shows in the history of both brands. Now, folks, I have to tell you that SmackDown is suffering from what I call the Raw syndrome, which means that SmackDown has not put on a bad show in the last 2 weeks. It wasn't brilliant, but it wasn't bad, but nobody's watching. And the reason nobody's watching is because they tune into Raw Monday, and they're disgusted. They're absolutely disgusted with it. And they say, forget it. I don't care. I don't care what's happening on SmackDown. I'm done. I'm wrestled out. That is a real issue. Back-to-back nights. This is going to change when they go to Fox. But back-to-back nights is doing the WWE no favors. Because if you tune in to that three-hour marathon, that almost unwatchable three-hour marathon that is Raw, and you're not a super fan, you've had your fill. And the last thing you want is two more hours shoved down your throat. And that is reflecting in the ratings. I know it's a different show. I know it's different superstars. It doesn't matter. These fans are wrestled out. I've been sent pictures of half-empty arenas. WWE's rocking and reeling, folks. And this week's Raw, I mean, we start out with the whole situation with Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey. Listen, this thing is escalating to epic proportion with Nia Jax. Let's just say that an indie wrestler who just happens to be married to Ember Moon tweeted and then quickly untweeted that he hoped upon hearing his wife was going to be filling in for Natty after what happened to her Monday night in the tag team match against Nia, that unsafe moron didn't hurt his wife again. And then I'm sure he was quickly told to take it down by his wife or whatever. But listen, everybody's afraid to say it. I don't know why anybody's afraid to say this. Nia Jax is a disaster. I'm not afraid to say it. Nia Jax is a disaster. Don't tell me, oh, well, accidents happen in wrestling, Taz. Don't tell me, oh, well, things like this happen, Lance Storm. People in the business are recognizing she's not safe. Now we hear, well, you know what? Becky Lynch is cleared for her concussion, but she still has yet to be cleared for her facial damage that hasn't quite healed. Yeah, she was at Tribute to the Troops, and she did a very brief in-ring thing. That does not mean she's going to be there at TLC. Does not mean it. Because she's going to have to take some bumps at TLC. And they may pull her. They may yet pull her. Now, is it likely? No, it's not likely. She'll probably go on and do the match, even if she has to wear some kind of facial protection. But it's going to impede the match. Let's just say that. And whose fault is that? Once again, that's Nia Jax's fault. At some point, you have to understand and come to grips with the fact that this is a woman who's giving you nothing in terms of putting asses in the seats or a good match, and she is in the minus when it comes to injuring people and keeping them out of what they're supposed to do. If Becky Lynch cannot return to form or she loses her momentum due to the time she is out, you can put that shirt on Nia Jax. She's the one who did it. And it's absurd. So we have the non-match where the Riot Squad come down and basically get beat up single-handedly by Ronda Rousey, so whatever. Bad opening to Raw. Nobody cares. And speaking of nobody cares, Alexa Bliss says, well, you know what? It was such a bad question and answer session last week. Let's do it again. Because that makes all the sense in the friggin' world, doesn't it? And now we are really, I am so embarrassed for Sasha and Bayley that I literally could almost not watch the segment. I had my hands over my eyes like I was watching a horror film. As plants, or I don't know if they were plants or selected. I imagine they were plants. They're saying, if you could wrestle anybody in the world. Oh, God, please. Shoot me already. Is this your programming? This is what you got? It's absurd. Absolutely absurd. And then we got to beat the dead horse to death. What do you have to say about the people who are all on Twitter saying you're only using Bayley? I don't know one person on Twitter who's saying that because nobody cares. You tried to give us Bayley versus Sasha. You backed out of it. Now they're friends. All you did was drop the little, there might be a tag team in the future. There may be a tag team championship in the future. That's the bombshell you dropped. I guess that was the whole point of this. Well, we knew that before the women's pay-per-view. When Stephanie McMahon said, well, it's not going to be at the pay-per-view, but it's coming. That's not a bombshell. The opening to Raw, Mike, wasn't bad. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible. Like you said, it's going to, I mean, yeah, there are a whole bunch of different problems when they go back, when SmackDown goes to Fox, but it's going to help them out that they're not going to be boom, boom, day, you know, going day after, you know, gives us time to digest the horribleness that's ultimately going to come from on any given Monday night, come from Raw, you know. And that's the thing. This, they've tried to give us different things, and they've tried to do this. And I mean, we can go back and I said that the previous week was a F for me, or was it two weeks ago or last week? I think it was last week. Sometimes they all run together, you know, with me.
Yeah,
and that's. That's a bad thing when you've got guys that want to watch your show, but they're saying, and they're trying to rate your show, and they're trying to talk about your show, and they're saying that one Monday night doesn't matter, and one Monday night runs into the other Monday night, and it's like watching the same show over and over and over again. That's bad.
Mike, it's more than bad, and it's become their booking method. Because what do we have next, if not the house party? And once again, here come the revival. This time the guy's saying, well, look, we all know the Lucha house party rules are ridiculous. So here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to teach you a lesson one-on-one. He gets in the ring and it says, oh, this match will be Lucha house party rules. So now it's 3-on-1. Which for the life of me, I don't know why then his partner can't be, it just doesn't even make any sense. So I'm saying to myself, well, this is a really, really good way to promote the Lucha House Party as faces. All three of them are going to take on one guy. 3-on-1. To which Renee Young and Michael Cole say, ah, oh, they're just having fun. But later in the show, when the heels do it, oh, it's just disgraceful 3-on-1 tactics. How dare they? But nothing makes sense. That's the problem. How can it be okay for the Lucha House Party, but it's not okay if Baron Corbin has help? Three people beat the hell out of Elias. Nobody cares. It's just ridiculous. This show, in synopsis, had a couple of moments that could have been okay. A couple. Dean Ambrose coming down with hazmat people. I don't know what to say. There are characters that could get away with this and pull this off as sort of a weird, eclectic, and a little bit creepy whatever. Dean Ambrose isn't one of them. God bless him, because he's very good at what he does, and he can really pull off almost everything. But not this. It's not working. This would have to be something that, like, you could maybe see the Authors of Pain doing, or something like that, but not Dean Ambrose. It's just not working for him. And let's face it, Raw's given up on the third hour. Raw promises their big main event is Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin, and the world of professional wrestling goes, guess I'll go to bed. And I want to explain something before I get any kind of feedback from Finn Balor or Baron Corbin fans. I like both of these guys. It's not their fault. It's the way they're being booked. No one cares. There's no interest in what's happening. None. Now, Finn Balor, I told everybody the Raw last week that I didn't give too bad of a grade to. I said at least a couple of positives have come out of it. Elias is going to be a major face, and they're going to use Finn Balor because they're not going to be putting Finn Balor in a main event situation like this unless they're going to use him. And I was right, because Finn Balor's in the main event this week, and Finn Balor was all over the show this week. So if you're a Finn Balor fan, I told you, don't be too upset with this Finn Balor beatdown thing, because all that means is they're going to use him. But aside from that, what did Raw give us? It gave us another beatdown of Seth Rollins, which is getting old. It gave us, Elias, again, was very good at what he does. But, I mean, he's not going to be able to save this, even with Finn Balor's help. And what do we get? We get Baron Corbin and Finn Balor. We get a beatdown by Drew McIntyre afterwards. And we get the main event, the real main event, which, of course, is Ronda Rousey and Ember Moon versus Nia and Tamina. Come on, that's it. Wow. Wow, folks. We're going to have a lot more on this on Sunday, because I'm telling you right now that the WWE, Raw especially, is facing critical mass here. When I tell you that it is getting to the point where even the most ardent wrestling fan, such as myself, finds this almost unwatchable. It's almost unwatchable. And it's not any of the superstars' fault other than a chosen couple. It is Tamina Snuka's fault that she has zero charisma, that she looks like somebody wound her up. All I'm waiting for one day is for her to turn around and have one of those big things you have to wind up in her back. She walks down to ringside like she's looking for her seat in the crowd. She has no charisma. She has no mic skills. She has very limited ring skills. Being the big, powerful monster girl next to a girl who's bigger and more powerful and perceived as more of a monster. So she doesn't even have that. And then we have Nia Jax, who cuts a promo like a fourth grader on a school play, who's clumsy, slow, unsafe, ineffective, and nobody really gives a damn. And the heat that she got for punching Becky Lynch dead in the face, I told you, was going to wear off. As soon as everybody figures Becky's fine and she's back, from Nia Jax is going to cool off, because nobody cares. Nobody cares about Nia Jax. And this is her own fault, because they've given her all the room in the world, and she can't do it. And fading quicker than you can possibly imagine is Alexa Bliss, who at one time ruled the WWE's women's division. She was the one everyone was coming to see. She was the one on everybody's lips. And thanks to, oh, a few concussions dealt out by unsafe workers, she's on the shelf for a while, and people are like, eh, yeah, hell with her. This is not good. It's not good in any way, shape, or form. Todd, we're looking at almost disaster with Raw. I mean, week after week, it's just one thing after the other.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's going to come to the point. It's going to be unwatchable for me to watch every week. Like you said, just it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse every single week.
And here's the thing. I have to eat some crow here because I said, well, look, last week was they hit the reset button. They've established who the top heels are going to be. They've established who the top faces are going to be. Give them a break. And let's see where this goes. We didn't even see this group again. It's like last week didn't happen. It's, oh, no, Drew McIntyre is not coming out with Bobby Lashley or really Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin. It's just, like I said, it's almost like someone who didn't watch last week's show gets to write the next week's show. And nothing is cohesive. Nothing gels together. Nothing moves forward in a manner that you say, okay, now we're getting deeper into this. Nothing really. No one is excited. I'm not even excited about Drew McIntyre anymore. They push Drew McIntyre, and he's great in the ring. He's getting great heat. He's one of these heels that you don't like because there's no reason to like him. But you're pushing him against Finn Balor, and people are going, eh. You turn Dolph Ziggler for no really good reason. If you're going to turn Dolph Ziggler, and I'm not even sure it's a turn, but if you're going to flip Dolph Ziggler, you got to give him more motivation than my ego is bigger than yours, and you didn't invite me to your little party, and now you're saying you're using me, so I'm going to turn on you because my ego will not allow me to be anything less than the boss because fans won't get behind you for that. Fans will get behind you if you're wronged in some way. Dolph Ziggler having his ego bruised isn't necessarily wronged when he did it to a million people. You'd have to have something more than that. And besides that, it makes no sense. Drew McIntyre was told to go out there and say, the only reason I use Drew McIntyre is to get into a group so that I could establish myself, and now I don't need him anymore. So you go right back to a group? So you hook up with Braun Strowman? So you defend Dolph Ziggler against Braun Strowman because you don't really care about Dolph Ziggler? None of what was said makes a lick of sense. So when Drew McIntyre says, my plan all along was to let Dolph Ziggler get me in the door, get myself established, and when I no longer needed him, I'm just going to branch out on my own. We as fans say, well, that's bullshit. Because you formed the Dogs of War with Braun Strowman, what was that all about? When Braun Strowman was threatening Dolph Ziggler, you stood in his way. What was that all about if you don't care about Dolph Ziggler? The right way to handle Drew McIntyre was one of two ways. Either A, make him the face who goes against the heel Braun Strowman, heel, instead of turning him face when Roman Reigns had to leave. Or you keep him a heel, but you have Dolph Ziggler turn and Drew McIntyre choose Strowman over him. That's it. This way makes no sense. This way makes zero sense. Zero. That he's getting for it isn't big because fans, Mike, they're not buying it.
Ian Heather will get dirt.
I don't think we have Mike connected, but That's exactly why. That's exactly why. When things don't make sense, when things don't add up, when fans can't buy into it, they can't suspend their disbelief because they say, wait a minute, that's not the story you told us 2 weeks ago. Then you can't get into it. It's perfectly logical that Dolph Ziggler was being used by Drew McIntyre, but then you have to build that up from Jump Street, and you don't add him into Braun Strowman into the whole mix. You don't add why did you do all these things where when he was picking on Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre stands in his way? What did Drew McIntyre need from Dolph Ziggler at that point? Because you had no future plans to do this right then. You didn't know what you were going to do. So you said, well, I don't know. We'll have Drew stand in front of Dolph, and we'll have that big stare down between him and Braun, and that'll be big. And it did. It got a big pop. And then we said, oh, well, no, that's not going to work out. We're just going to turn Braun back to being a face, and we'll turn Drew on Dolph. It's like these are all last-minute decisions, and you forget what you did before. Oh, fans won't remember. Fans won't remember that. Mike, when things do not make sense, fans cannot buy into it, and that is why people are not tuning into Raw.
That's right, and that was my whole point with the whole thing that happened with the women. A lot of the stuff they've been doing on Raw with the women just doesn't make sense. You know, yeah, you get little nuggets here and there where they're doing stuff with Alexa Bliss. All right, that some of that stuff they've been doing with Alexa Bliss makes sense, but all the other stuff that they've done, including the stuff that horrible segment 2 weeks ago, that horrible Raw for Women 2 weeks ago that just was horrid, that drove my grade down to enough that week, even though we had some good stuff happen on that show, you know.
And then they just repeat it. They say, okay, well, that failed. Let's do it again. I'm surprised they don't have a This Is Your Life Bailey again. One of the things that happened on the show that had a little bit of a promise is that Baron Corbin says to Slater and Rhino, there's only room for one of you guys on the roster. So you're going to have a match to determine who gets to stay and who gets fired. Well, Rhino loses in quick fashion in a match that no one could get into. See, here's the problem. Why didn't you build this up last week? Why didn't you say you're going to have this match next week? And then have Rhino and Heath Slater take to social media saying, this is awful because we're best friends. And this is you. Why couldn't you do that? Why couldn't you give us a build up or say at TLC that's going to happen or wherever it's going to happen? Why couldn't you give that a little bit of a build up? And then why can't you give it 10 minutes instead of 2 seconds? Because let's just rush. It's no big deal. Rhino, I guess, says he wants to retire, but he's going on their tour. He's not even retired now because he's booked on their tour. So I guess this is a gimmick. And then when Heath Slater gets backstage, he's told, well, you're not staying as an in-ring worker. You're staying as a referee. I promise you, he's going to get booked as the referee for the Baron Corbin-Braun Strowman match if it happens, which it will. From what I'm told, at TLC. I promise you this is going to come back to bite Baron Corbin in the ass. That's where that's going. So that's a thread of something. I'm happy to see something happening for Slater, but I don't have any faith in it, Todd, because they don't give these things proper buildup.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they build things up too fast anymore. I remember back in the day, you build something up slow, take like a month or two to build up. But now it takes like not even a week or a day. It's just, oh, you're gonna lose or lose this federation, retires, whatever.
And it's happening tonight. That's what they always do, and it's happening tonight. And you're like, okay, well, there's no time to even build up momentum for this match. You're doing it now. You just announced it. You're doing it now. Why don't you bleed it out a little bit, milk it for what it's worth, squeeze the juice out of the orange, like we always say. Paul Heyman took a year to build up Taz versus Sabu. A year. We can't take a week. The WWE is just like, no, it's going to happen now. That's what we're going to do. And you're just like, okay, well, I don't know. The AOP has been reduced to, you know, tag team champions that are in gimmick matches where, okay, we're Drake Maverick's going to fight Bobby Roode, but then we're backstage and we're going to be beating up Chad Gable. And look, nothing matters. This is the problem with the WWE, especially Raw, is nothing that happens actually matters. In the grand scheme of things, no matter what happens, Finn Balor gets pinned, Finn Balor doesn't get pinned. Elias wins, Elias loses. Drew McIntyre says he's with Baron Corbin. Drew McIntyre is against Baron. And none of it matters. Because it's going to change next week anyway. And I swear, when Ronda Rousey said, I'll find a partner, I said to myself, oh my God, we're going to see the debut of one of the other horsewomen. We're going to see something here. Something big is going to happen here. They're not pulling this Natty thing just to build up her and the Riot Squad. There's got to be some reason why Ronda Rousey has to find herself a partner. And it's going to be a surprise. No, it's Ember Moon. Which is nothing wrong with Ember Moon, except she's not been booked correctly, so nobody cares. Ember Moon could have been one of the biggest acquisitions the WWE marched down that aisle. If they treated her correctly. They did not treat her correctly. And so now, they're looking at her saying, well, you didn't make a very big splash. Well, she didn't make a very big splash because you didn't allow her to. Folks, I mean, get with a program. You know that, too. That's the thing. The WWE knows that. If you think for 1 minute the WWE is just these clueless bunch of people walking around backstage saying, I don't know why Ember Moon ain't getting over, you're crazy. They know when they march her out there like that with no fanfare and she loses and she fights nobodies and she's a setup person for another feud that they're killing her. They know it. They haven't been at this thing for a week. So it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I'm not going to give Raw an F this week. Because, again, it was good to see Heath Slater get some use. And I think Baron Corbin got some legitimate heat. And I think Drew McIntyre got some legitimate heat. I do think they furthered Elias a little bit more as the face and somebody that people want to root for. And they made him look a lot better this week when he basically beat the hell out of Bobby Lashley. He made Finn Balor look a little bit better this week. So I'm not going to give it an F. But I am going to give it a D. And the reason I'm going to give it a D is because even when you do things right, you have booked them to a point now where it doesn't matter. It's not important. And that's a critical, that's almost a death blow, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you with this thing. It's a D. You know, it's got to be a D. Because even, like you said, the whole Slater-Rhino deal, you know, first off, they don't give us enough credit in knowing that Rhino's going to be around a while. You know, they want us to think that he's going to retire, but they don't give us credit on knowing that he's going to be around. So that's another reason why that whole gimmick, other than the fact that it's going to lead to probably Slater costing Corbin. But other than that, it leads to nothing for Slater other than that, you know. And whereas,
well, that's it. And then you got to figure it this way too, Mike. If they had to rush it because they wanted Slater's referee to cost Baron Corbin or whatever it happens to be, fine. But then how come you didn't know this 3 weeks ago? See, I'm not giving you a pass on that. I'm not saying, well, we've decided we want Slater to cost, Corbin or something, so we got to get this done immediately. Well, that's a last-minute decision then. Why didn't your writers have this ready right after the last pay-per-view? So that we could say, well, pre-show match for TLC, Rhino is fighting Heath Slater, and the winner gets to stay, and the loser doesn't. And then, right after that pre-show match, you could have had the humiliation of saying you're a referee. And then it would have been even funnier when he marched out to be the referee for the Baron Corbin match, if that's what you had planned, because Corbin could have been like, well, what the hell is that? I didn't okay that. That would have been great. It would have given you a couple of weeks to build up the Rhino and Slater thing, where both of them could have had segments every week backstage saying, you know, as much as you're my friend, I can't lose my job. We could have got sympathy for these characters. We could have felt for their dilemmas. No, it's just not get to it. Who cares? Who cares? It's just Rhino and Heath Slater. Who cares? It's just Ember Moon. Who cares? It's just whoever. Fill in the blank. That's the problem. Cares about any of these characters with a very few exceptions. And that's because of your writers, not because of your athletes, because these are the same athletes we cared about before. You've written yourself right out of people caring about your characters. Now you almost need a whole new cast of characters. Because you so critically damaged these characters that I don't know if you can bring them back to a level where people care about them. It's going to be hard. Let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. I feel sorry for SmackDown in a way, because SmackDown always has that horrible disadvantage of following Raw and people already being pissed. So you're already ready to say, F the WWE and the stupid show. So you're always coming into it with a negative attitude, if you go into it at all, which less and less fans are, by the way. And while we got some really good things on SmackDown, and it was very, very much a better show, there are some things that worry me. The main thing that worries me is that we are not consistently seeing the U.S. champion. We see Rusev, but we don't see Nakamura. We see Nakamura, but we don't see Rusev. I don't know why we can't have them both at the same time. That's my one concern. My second concern is Randy Orton has faded from a heel that people say, yeah, I really want to see him get his ass beat, to we don't care again. He's become that vanilla plain guy again. And so is Jeff Hardy. And my third concern is that while I think Daniel Bryan did some great heel work, some really great heel work, and if you missed it, you should really go on YouTube and see the cut scene of him basically insulting a kid for holding up a sign that's saying it's his birthday. Daniel Bryan's doing the best job he can of trying to get heat as a heel. However, he is very ill-advised to do this by saying he's an environmentalist and a vegan, because a decent percentage of people are going to take that as him being a good guy, no matter what he does in the ring. When he gets in the ring and says, hey, people don't care about global warming and the environment, or you don't care about me, you don't care about animals, there's going to be a fringe group of people who say, yeah, he's absolutely right. If the world were filled with a more conservative approach, he'd be the heel. And I'm sure the WWE thinks he is the heel by doing that, but I'm telling you, it's almost like the reverse Jack Swagger. They thought Jack Swagger was going to be this big, enormous heel saying, how did you people sneak into my country? But a decent amount of the audience agreed with him. Well, this is the exact opposite. Now you're going with a left-wing approach to politics, and a decent amount of your audience is going to agree with Daniel Bryan, and that's not what you want. Daniel Bryan has got to find something better as a heel than to just be the obnoxious snowflake Daniel Bryan, because while that will work with some people, it's not going to work with them all. And that worries me. So, Mike, while I think he did a great job, I'm worried about the path.
Yeah, I'm worried about the path, and like you said, I mean, that thing, and the thing with Swagger, we said it at the time, they missed a chance, especially as Donald Trump was coming down that escalator to say that he was running for president, and all the stuff that went around with him. They missed a big chance with Swagger, you know. And that's another thing. It's not just the fact that they're giving him crap to do, is that the chances are there for them to take, and they're not taking them.
Yeah, you know, I think they're actually afraid sometimes to delve too much into the politics, but I think Daniel Bryan has taken an easy way out, and I think he needs to understand that you can't be a heel if a decent percentage of the crowd agree with you. I never liked heels like that. I never liked heels where you say, well, you know what, they have a point. How can you be a heel if you say, well, here's what I think. I think that, you know, nobody's taking global warming seriously. And I think this could be a very, very horrible thing for us. And all you people are too stupid to do your research. I'm much more intelligent. And you might say, okay, you're obnoxious, but there's a good percentage of people who's saying, you know what, I feel the same way. Or if you come out and say, oh, you know what, 90% of these people who are sneaking into the country are here illegally, and they're going to be, it's a terrible thing for us. And a decent amount of people are going to say, he's absolutely right. So either way, whether you go left or right in your political leanings, I wouldn't use that to be a heel, because there's going to be a decent portion of the crowd who doesn't think that's heel rhetoric. That's my problem with that. Heel rhetoric is when you come out and literally say, you know, well, look, I back jumped this guy and this whole audience stinks. If Daniel Bryan was to come out and say, look, to be perfectly honest with you, I wanted to come back to wrestling because I love wrestling. But I came to not love you guys, and I'll tell you why I don't. Because even when I really shouldn't have been in that ring, you all were wanting me to. Just for your enjoyment. You didn't care if I got killed. You didn't care if I suffered brain damage. It was just, no, we want to see Daniel Bryan because you're selfish. And all the while I had to come out here as the general manager, and you guys would chant one more match and everything. That broke my heart. Because every time you did that, if you really cared about me, you would have said, please, Daniel, stay out of the ring until we know for sure. But you didn't do that. And that's when I lost my respect for you and said, you're only out for yourself. So now I'm only out for myself. I don't care about you. I'm healed thanks to nothing to do with you. Because if I'd listened to you, I'd have got back in the ring earlier and killed myself. Just for your amusement, and I'm done with it. Then that makes sense. Because then you say, oh, the fans aren't going to agree with that. The fans are going to say, that's not true. Nobody wanted him to come in here and before he was ready. And we were just trying to encourage him, that we wanted to see him. That would have been, no one would have agreed with it. This rhetoric, some people are going to agree with. His actions, they may not agree with, but the rhetoric, they're going to. So I don't find that a great heel. Now, Samoa Joe, on the other hand, I think he's doing a really good job. I really do. I'm not into the Samoa Joe versus Hardy match because I'm just not into Jeff Hardy. But I will give credit to SmackDown. They're trying to use Jeff Hardy. They're trying to milk him for everything they can get out of him. And this is probably going to be a Samoa Joe feud that he's going to win because he hasn't won a thing. And maybe, just maybe, they can erase some of the horror of Samoa Joe just getting beat like a dog at Survivor Series. I don't know where the Rusev and Nakamura thing is going. If Nakamura loses that belt, I'm pretty sure we're not going to see Nakamura in the WWE much no more. So there's a lot of things on SmackDown that's kind of weird. Now, as far as the Asuka and Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair thing, what concerned me more than anything else about that, and it was a good segment. I thought it was a good segment. And what I love about it is it makes sense in the sense that Charlotte is saying, okay, Becky, you did beat me. But you've never beaten Asuka. I beat Asuka. And you never beat Asuka. So therefore, there's like that chain of, well, I beat this person. You didn't. You beat me. So there's a chain of, we're all three pretty much even. And it does lend to an air of, I don't know who's going to win this match. I presume Becky Lynch is going to win this match, but I can't guarantee it. So for that reason, I do like that. But you will notice that when the fireworks started, Becky Lynch was long out of that ring. And for someone who says, I'm back, I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines, that worried me. Because the first thing I said was, they're not letting her take anything before TLC. Now, that's probably pretty smart. But she was in the ring at the Tribute for the Troops taping. And she got the win for her team. But she didn't take any bumps. And, I mean, you could get anybody in there to just come in and do a move or two and then go for the pin or the submission. If you don't have to take any abuse, you don't have to be in there for more than a minute, then you're probably all right. That's not going to be able to be done at TLC. And I know that people like Dave Meltzer has said she's positively not going to be at TLC. He has already said that. I think he's wrong. I think she's going to be at TLC. I think they're going to put her in the ring. But he claims no. He claims she is not cleared and very well may not be cleared in time. If he's right, and he could be, he's been at this a whole lot longer than me, then that's a disaster for the WWE, and that's Nia Jax's fault. And if I was Nia Jax, I would be very worried about TLC, because Ronda Rousey's also not the safest person walking the planet. And if Ronda Rousey has a little bird whisper in her ear that it wouldn't be out of character to break her jaw, and, well, you know, I'm new to this, sorry, nobody would think anything of it. That's the way they handled it back in the old days. Believe me, that's what they would do. Now, modern time, they're not going to do. They're probably not going to do that. But don't think for 1 minute Ronda can't do it on her own either. So this is a match I'm going to watch very carefully, because I got news. The WWE cannot be happy with Nia Jax. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if they want to put a smiley face on it and say, well, these things happen. They know better than that. When you got an indie worker who's easily able to spot that Nia Jax is not safe, don't tell me that guys have been at it for 25, 30 years don't say, yeah, she's a disaster. They all know it. They just don't want to say it. They don't want to say it because they don't want to insult her family or her lineage. But sometimes you just got to out the truth, and the truth is she's no good. She's not safe. She's not careful. So I don't know if Becky Lynch is going to be there. My bet would be yes, but that's against some of the experts who were saying we know she's not. She's going to get taken out before the match somehow. If that happens, boy, I'm going to tell you something. Becky Lynch has got to be shaken in her boots. Worried, is this going to be it? Because if she has to wait another month, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, her momentum is dying a little bit. She had so much momentum. You can't let it cool off. And that's Nia Jax's fault, Mike.
It really is. And look, I mean, I remember a story that Hulk Hogan told about the first time, the first few weeks he showed up in training to become a wrestler. And he was talking about how he was all full of himself. And then one of the guys comes in there and basically breaks his leg.
Yep.
You know,
he was told to do it by Mike Graham.
To teach him a lesson. And look, you can say all you want about, you know, you talk about the breaking of her jaw, but it wouldn't be out of Ronda Rousey's sphere of influence to, well, I'm gonna pull your arm out of socket for real.
Well, see, the reason I think she'd rather probably, if she was going to do something like that, which I'm not saying she will, but if she would, they would say, well, Ronda knows how much tension she's putting on an arm, so if she broke it, she did it on purpose. Whereas if Ronda punched somebody or kicked somebody too hard, she could say, well, you know, I'm green at that. I never really did that fake before, you know, and I missed. Because Ronda has hit some people for real already. We've discussed it. She has dropped people in odd ways. So I think if she was going to do it and really make it look like an accident, it wouldn't be the arm lock, because that's the one thing she has is the master of. And she certainly knows how much tension she's putting on it. A punch, you could say, slipped. Kick, well, you know, you always got, well, you know, it happened to Brie Bella. Look how long she's been in the business. It happened to you with Becky. You've been in the business longer than me. It's just one of those things that you can get away with it that way. So overall, Todd, your thoughts on SmackDown this week?
Like you said, I got to go with a D as well.
Wow, so you're going with a D on Raw or SmackDown?
Monday Night Raw.
Oh, Monday Night Raw. So what's your thoughts on SmackDown overall? I mean, it was a better show, but what did you think about it in general? What was your favorite parts, your least favorite parts?
My least favorite part with the Daniel Bryan's being not playing the heel the right way.
See, I'm a little worried about that because that's a lot of people's favorite part because they said he did it so well, and he did. He did. Plays to an audience that not everyone is going to disagree, and some people are going to think he's a hero for doing it, saying it. So I'm not sure that's the right approach. I like my heels to be heels where everybody pretty much universally has to say, yeah, that guy's wrong. He's wrong for what he's thinking. He's wrong for what he's doing. He's wrong for what he's saying. I'm not a big fan of these heels that are like, yeah, man, they're sort of right. Which is like the revival. They're coming out there saying, what do you want us to do? It's 3-on-2 and then it's 3-on-1. How's the revival the bad guys? Everything they're saying is absolutely right. And then you're sitting back there saying, well, they're the heels. How are they the heels? Makes no sense. On Sunday's show, we are going to attempt to tell you all the things wrong with Raw and SmackDown and what should be corrected and why nothing matters. And the 10 steps that they can do to make things matter again and give the fans what they want. So it'll be a very interesting show on Sunday. SmackDown was a better show. It's always a better show. Because it's more focused on wrestling. The Miz was good again. I don't know what he's doing. I'm not sure whether they're going to try to flip him or they're not. I don't know what they're doing with The Miz. But overall, the only mistake I do think they're making is, again, you had a chance on Tuesday to add another team to the mix, and you decided not to do it in your tag team. And again, your tag team division is 3 teams. And you're not even trying to promote anybody else. Mike, they are just 100% locked into their 3-team division. And I think that's a mistake.
And look, they could have taken a chance with this whole Rhino and Slater thing. Well, we're not only going to take the guy who lost the match, but we're going to take the guy who won the match as well from you, Raw, because you're doing them dirty and all that stuff. They could have took that chance as well. I'm gonna go ahead and give them a C- here. You know.
Yeah, it was a better show. You know, I might even give it a little bit higher. I might even say it was. Put it this way, I guess I'm the opposite of a lot of wrestling fans when I say fans are so down on Raw that anything SmackDown does is like, oh God, more. They're already sour. See, I'm almost the opposite. It's almost like a breath of fresh air. And I'm like, oh God, okay, this is why I like wrestling again. Thankfully, I got SmackDown to take the stench. SmackDown's like the air wick of professional wrestling. You know, you spray it in the bathroom after Raw is done. And you're like, okay, that's better. That's the way I feel about it. So I'm going to give it a C because of that factor. It made me at least once again say, okay, I got my wrestling fix. I feel like wrestling's okay now again. Because when I shut off the TV on Monday night, I said, I just don't know. I just don't know where this is going. Because I don't care about a single character anymore on Raw, not one. I don't care about a single storyline on Raw, not one. The closest I care about, because I think he could have a really good career, but they're going to ruin it, is Elias. They're going to ruin it. But they got something there. If they nurture it correctly, they got something. As far as everybody else, I don't care. Not that they're not great athletes. Seth Rollins is one of my favorite wrestlers. Dean Ambrose is a marvelous heel, but you're using them wrong. You're just using them wrong. And so nobody cares what's happening to them. And as soon as you put those characters in position where nobody gives a damn, does anybody care that Drew McIntyre is fighting Finn Balor? No. Because we have seen Drew McIntyre beat him up time and time again. And if you're going to build Drew McIntyre up this big, and he just suffered a loss to Dolph Ziggler thanks to his first loss to Dolph Ziggler, thanks to Finn Balor in part. Finn Balor's not winning this. So it's a worthless match, and it means nothing. Bobby Lashley and Elias, it's not going to be a good match. Elias gets more of a pop for beating up his manager than he does Bobby Lashley, as was proven Monday. He wasn't getting any major pop for beating up Bobby Lashley. When he lambasted Lio Rush, he got a big pop. That's a lot of credit goes to Lio Rush for that. But this is the WWE has to handle these things. There is no pop, Gable and Rude. No pop. Fans don't care. And because they don't care, then they don't care about AOP. And that's a shame. Braun Strowman's still out. Fans really don't care anymore. The Braun Strowman thing is yesterday, and you ruined it. You drove it into the ground. The WWE drove it into the ground. The Ronda Rousey thing is getting old. Nobody cares about the Nia Jax thing. Trust me. Nobody's saying, I wonder what's going to happen. Nobody. So we're left with a lot of great workers. I mean, Ruby Riott is a great worker. Sarah Logan has infinite potential. Liv Morgan has infinite potential. Liv Morgan has the body language, the looks, the attitude, everything she needs to be like a really good heel. She's not the greatest in the ring, but man, but they're just not going to use her right, and it's not going to happen. So you're just frustrated. Time and time again, you sit there being frustrated by because you're saying, how come they're not doing this? How come they're not doing that? Why aren't they using this person? Why can't they see this? Why can't they see that? And they don't care. If the Riott Squad is supposed to be such a tough team, why did Ronda Rousey kick their ass all by herself? And they had to make a retreat. Oh, my God, run away from Ronda Rousey. Okay, well, then is there a point to watching one of you fight her when all three of you can't beat her? No. Things you got to think about. Why are we rooting for Ember Moon? What is it about Ember Moon that you've given us to root for? Nothing. You've given us no character story behind her. She comes out with this dark, sort of mystical, almost voodoo-like thing, and then she's in the back, you know, smiling and high-fiving people, saying, hey, what's up? It makes no sense. Dean Ambrose has suddenly become a germophobic who has to wear a mask. It's just terrible. It's the most terrible abuse and misuse of characters and great workers. I'm not discrediting anybody with the exception of Nia Jax, who I think is not ready. And should go back, and I don't want her fired, go back down to NXT and train until you know how to throw a goddamn punch. And don't be rushed up because you're friends with The Rock or you're related to The Rock or whatever it is. I'm sorry. But all these workers are fine, but you're not giving them anything. When you can't even get a pop for a Dolph Ziggler beating Drew McIntyre, you know you've used both characters wrong. Because Dolph Ziggler is one of the best workers in the business, period, end of conversation. And you can't get him any heat, and you can't get him a pop. That's your fault. Finn Balor gets a pop only because the fans really, really like him. It's not due to your writing. Otherwise, he wouldn't be getting anything. You're in danger of Elias not getting a pop. If Elias didn't have other talents, if Elias wasn't really a good guitar player and a funny songwriter type guy, he's not getting a pop. What's Bobby Lashley getting? Anything Bobby Lashley getting is what Lio Rush gave him. Other than that, Bobby Lashley getting nothing. Baron Corbin right back to the old oppressive authority figure. Well, we've done this a million times over and we're sick of it. So who's getting anything? That's the problem, Mike. None of these guys are getting a damn thing on their own.
That's right. Whereas you look at SmackDown, Becky Lynch, when she shows up, when she actually run out there, she can get stuff on her own. Charlotte Flair gets stuff on her own. Even Asuka gets stuff on her own. You know, you look at the number. I mean, we can talk all day long about what the Usos and New Day and all these guys, AJ Styles and stuff. That's another thing. When you've got guys on your show, on one of your shows in your company that can get stuff on their own, and they're all on the one program. I mean, let's just one little thing. I watched the most recent NXT, and the whole thing with the three guys, Gargano and Ciampa, and now our favorite and Black. Those three guys, and especially Johnny Gargano, when he goes, "I'm fixated on you now," and Ciampa says, "Well, when he's fixated on you, you're in trouble." You buy that because we've seen that, you know?
Right, because they've given you a backstory. That is exactly correct, because they've given you the backstory so the fans say he's right. But still, on SmackDown, there are still characters I care about a lot more. I care about AJ Styles. I care about Daniel Bryan. I care about The Miz. I care about Rusev as a character. I still like The New Day. I still like The Usos. I still like Sheamus and Cesaro. There are people on there that I actually say I want to see them wrestle. Now, on Raw, yeah, I like to see Seth Rollins wrestle. Yeah, I definitely like Drew McIntyre. I can't care about him. I can't care about him because they're involved in nothing that I care about. How can you not have a Dean Ambrose and a Seth Rollins feud matter? That has got to be writing malpractice. And how can you throw away the Dolph Ziggler-Drew McIntyre feud so just like that for no reason? And now what's Dolph Ziggler supposed to come out and be like, "I'm high-fiving the fans. I'm a good guy again." Why? What was your motivation? That you got butt hurt? I mean, come on. I'm going to give it a C. Todd, what's your grade of SmackDown this week?
I got to go with you there. I got to give it a C as well.
So we're all giving it a C. Look, week after week, it's more consistently a better show. There's no question about it. It's more consistently a better show. However, still not a great show because you're dropping the ball again with a lot of your angles and a lot of your story writing. You're just lucky that it focuses more on wrestling and you got a lot of good athletes there who are getting themselves over. That's the thing. When have we seen where the hell is Aiden English? Where the hell is Andre Cien Almas? Where are these people? Where are they? This is a big problem on SmackDown. Anyway, join us Sunday, and we're going to tell you how you can fix some of this stuff. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.